My Mac Podcast number 172. We've got Lee Givens from America Online, plus Guy Searle, David Cohen, and Owen Rubin. Stay tuned.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast.
And this is the 172nd podcast that MyMac.com has pushed out onto the internet. And of course, I'm joined, like I am every week, with David Cohen from the UK. Hi, David.
Hi. Hello, podcast people.
What they can't hear, David, is the last couple times that I tried to open the show and just keep flubbing it. I don't know why. We don't know where Guy Searle is. I think he's probably on the icy roads of Virginia somewhere. But we do have Owen Rubin. Hi, Owen.
Hi there. Hello.
And Owen's going to join us for the whole show, Owen?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Or until battery goes dead. I don't know.
Until the battery goes, whichever comes first, yeah. Depends on how many times I have to stop recording and correct a mistake that I made. And joining us from America Online is Lee Givens. Hi, Lee.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. We really appreciate you coming on the show and talking with us today. And you know what? I just saw Guy Searle pop up in Skype, so we're going to invite him into the chat, too, and let him know that we are already recording. Hi, Guy.
Hey.
Okay, we are recording the podcast. We just started, so welcome to the show, Guy.
Guy, are you on the icy roads?
No, but I got home and it was total chaos here. My son had a report to do that involved doing the ABCs of the Revolutionary War. And for whatever reason, my 11-year-old thinks the ABCs go A, B, C, D, R, T, L, G, 6, 1, 12, you know, and it was, So it was a nightmare.
Well, Guy, we're joined by, with Lee Givens from AOL. Say hello to Lee.
Hello, Lee.
We haven't even asked him one question, Guy, so actually you came in right on time as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Well, I'm a longtime AOLer.
Well, let's go ahead and start off. Lee, what do you do at AOL?
Well, I am actually the principal product manager for the AOL Mac team.
Which, how big was that team a year ago?
A year ago, I think we had a couple of engineers and maybe a couple of QA people who were just kind of doing maintenance on some of our current products.
AOL Radio, that sort of thing?
Yeah, AOL Radio.
Which, by the way, is a fantastic product. I use it all the time.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, Mark Andreessen actually said it was one of his killer Mac OS 10 apps, so we're really happy about it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's a great application.
Yeah, the guy who actually coded it, he was one of the longtime Apple engineers, Mac OS programming guys at AOL, and he's on the team right now.
Awesome. So,
and we grew the team. We added a lot of engineers, QA people. We have, you know, real live project and all kinds of things. So we're really happy to get the team back and start building some great Mac apps.
Well, my story goes that Owen Rubin and myself and Guy Searle and Larry was at the Microsoft briefing. And when we left that room, there was the AOL's room right across the hall. So we stopped in, and I could not believe when I was told that AOL is going to come out with a new version of the Mac client, which you already have a beta of, and I've tried it. What's going on at AOL? I couldn't believe this.
Well, you know, Apple's resurgence is really kind of changed a lot of minds there. Everyone's looking at Apple. I mean, not just AOL, but almost every company on the face of this earth is looking at Apple as the company that has the innovation, is doing really well, understands. I mean, they are working every single aspect. Like Steve Jobs said, they're firing on all cylinders, great product selection, great innovation, great inventory management, supply chain. They're doing everything well. So, you know, when we got a new CEO last year, and the first thing they did was, you know, they wanted to make sure that we started thinking about innovation as one of our core capabilities.
So what is the desktop client for the Mac entail?
Well, I'm sure a lot of the AOL people who are our current members would notice that we haven't upgraded the AOL client in a few years. So
A few.
I like to tell people Office 2004 doesn't seem that far away, does it?
No, it doesn't. Not when you talk about AOL
it's so
software.
Old. I'm running it on a G3.
So the first things first, we have to build a modern Mac OS app. I mean, if you take a look at some of the code, and some of you old coders remember MetroWorks and the old Carbon days and Macintosh Toolbox, we wanted to start from scratch. So we threw out all the code. I mean, we tossed everything. And we started from scratch. We're using Xcode. You know, everything's Cocoa. Built from the ground up as a universal app. So,
and this isn't a port from the Windows version like the last version of AOL.
Well, that's the thing that I think a lot of people, some of our really old charter members and other people who've used AOL for a lot are, you know, they're sitting there looking at AOL desktop going, whoa, it's nothing like the Windows 9.1 one. And what, you know, what's interesting is they're like, can you make it like the Windows one? We're like, ah.
Why?
Our whole goal was to make a really good Mac app. First, that will be, you know, would be familiar to AOL people. But so it's been a really, I mean, especially a company with so many users in the past, so much expectation from some of the older users. It's really actually one of the most difficult products. I, you know, as a product manager, I've been in the business for a while, and this is one of the most difficult things to do, especially with scrutiny from Apple, scrutiny from your customers, and scrutiny from the people who've been at AOL for a long time. It's really a tough thing to build.
Is this something that you're going to hope to maybe get with Apple and put on the desktop in the future on the Mac OS?
Yeah, we anyone from Apple listening, we'd love to get back iMac. But yeah, back in the old days, Apple shipped AOL on the original iMacs.
Even before that, I remember AOL on a Performa 410 that I bought. It was pre-installed.
Yeah, people remember, if you even go further back, you remember the eWorld days and Apple
later. Oh, yeah.
All those fun days, but
I was at Apple at the time and worked on some of those.
Excellent. Yeah. So,
just for people who may not have ever used AOL before, what is it that AOL Desktop actually does for a user? Is it the method of connecting to AOL, or does it do other things as well?
Well, you know, especially in our past, we were the kings of the dial-up. So it was our main method of getting you connected to the internet. So anyone who thought of AOL in the past was always thinking AOL was a way for people to make that gateway to the internet. And at some point, you know, AOL was considered the internet to a lot of people. So our first step was to get people access. So with the whole broadband world, we don't have to worry about that. As much, because people are having, you know, always on broadband. So access is not, even though we still have, you know, tens of thousands of people using the dial-up still, and my brother's one of them, there's still a lot of people who are out there thinking, you know, I want to have backup in case my DSL goes down or something like that.
So, or rural areas, yeah.
Yeah, and there's lots of part, you know, I'm lucky enough to live in a place where they have the new fiber optic two-way.
You're a Verizon customer, huh?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I'm so envious.
Yeah, they actually came to my house and said if I wanted 15 megabits per second upload speed, I was like, wow.
Ow, don't twist my arm so hard.
And what's the download speed?
Well, I get 15 down and 2 up, and they said another 20 bucks, I'll get you another 13 megabits up. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
I'm impressed.
Wow. Definitely.
But there's a lot
I'd love to ask a question if I could. So I remember in my days, the reason you used AOL was not just to get you online, which a lot of us used it for that, but that it was the place to go to find software updates and forums and chat rooms from companies that had products out on the Mac. With the web sort of out there now, what do you see as the new, I'll call it a walled garden for lack of a better name, the new catch that pulls me into AOL? Why do I want to be there?
Yeah, you're totally right. Back in the old days, the sense of community you got online, I mean, there weren't a lot of websites out there that had, you know, the social networking was nowhere to be seen. And if you really wanted to get an update for your Mac, I remember getting my Quadra 840 AV and I needed to get an update for QuickTime or something, I'd go to AOL and download it.
Yep. So did
and all the third-party software suppliers all had all their download stuff up there for years. Or at least available through there, right. I agree.
Exactly. I remember setting up the downloads on my really slow modem and walking away, you know, doing it at night.
Queuing them up.
Yeah. So that was one of the only ways to get it. And then email. You know, email was a big thing back then, being able to go to chat rooms and talk to people and look up product information. That was, you know, just that whole building in the community that AOL had. And then also, they were one of the first companies to start thinking about, you know, building, you know, doing content aggregation, putting a whole bunch of content right there at your fingertips. So right now, everyone knows AOL's kind of gone away from the whole access business. We're not pushing the walled garden anymore. So we're pushing a lot of our a lot of people don't realize that AOL, we publish Engadget. We also have
an official Apple weblog. Yeah, you got AOL. To me, the last few years have been more about a content creation company than an access company.
Exactly. So our focus now is a lot of content, and of course, we're now we're advertising based instead of subscription based. So that changes.
So it's free to use.
Yeah, it's free to use. And one thing that a lot of people forget is if you use the client, if you use the application software like AOL Desktop for Mac, you don't need a subscription. You could use your free AIM user account, or you could use your screen name, a free screen name you get from AOL.
Yep, and that will work for email as well.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand, too, is we support .Mac usernames, too.
Right.
So if someone has a .Mac account, they can log into AOL using that account.
Yeah, we have a special relationship with Apple, especially when, with the release of iChat. iChat's on the AIM network, and, we're also one of the only companies where you could log in with the AOL screen name into iTunes. So on the 600 million copies of iTunes, you could log in with your AOL screen name and purchase songs.
It turns out to be a technical question I get asked a lot when people want to know why they can't log into AOL when they have their name opened in iChat. They don't. A lot of people didn't realize it was the same system.
Yep, it's the exact same system.
Yeah.
Now, you guys must still work closely with Apple with all these type of relationships, correct?
Yeah, we're with all these relationships, we spend a lot of time working with Apple. We spend a lot of time looking at the whole landscape and making sure we build good stuff, and we want to make sure that iChat's working all the time, and when people log in, they're on the AIM net, unless you're on Jabber, because now iChat supports a couple of other different networks, but its main mechanism is still AIM.
Now, is AOL actually looking at social networking type of sites and kind of incorporating a little bit of that? Because really, AOL was the original, well, and CompuServe and in eWorld, but you guys, to me, were the first social networking site out there.
Right, with all the with their
with the chatting,
chat
with
rooms.
Yeah, well, not just the chat rooms, but anybody could upload software to America Online. That's how My Mac magazine got our start. I uploaded an SIT file of the very first issue of My Mac magazine. That's how a lot of our old staff found me and joined My Mac magazine at the time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep. So is that something that you guys are looking into as well, or is that maybe farther down the road?
No, AOL is definitely looking towards that. We've kind of restructured our company to take advantage of some of these social networking and social aspects, community aspects of the Internet. A lot of people don't realize that in the early days, AIM profiles, and you remember when you would set up your profile and you could find people and meet them? And
sure.
It's funny. We had pretty much pieces of what MySpace and Facebook and everyone had in the past, but we didn't, I guess being such a big company, we may not have realized that we had all these great pieces. So AOL's restructured to make sure that we take advantage of some of those, all these dynamics that we have. We have software on people's computers. We have these great ways of letting people share information. And we also have this really great large AIM network and all this content. So piecing it all together is a tough part right now.
With a company the size of AOL Time Warner, how much communications do you have with the different departments?
Well, one thing that's great, I don't know if it's great or bad, but when you're the Mac group, a lot of people are like, oh, Mac team, oh, okay.
How you doing?
We'll leave you alone. We're not sure what that whole wacky Cocoa Xcode thing is. So we get a lot of autonomy, but we also we need to make sure that we work really closely with everyone. So like our chief architect, he spent a lot of time on the Windows side of the business, and it's just amazing to me how quickly people are, sort of embracing us as a quirky little team within AOL. So we try to keep it. We try to keep ourselves almost like a Mac department, sort of like how Microsoft does the Mac BU.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of look at ourselves as standing out. We think a little differently, but we're still part of the large organization.
I was leaving it open for anybody else on the staff to.
One of the things I wanted to ask is if you have a paid account, how would you go ahead and switch that over to the free account and still keep your screen name?
Oh, that's pretty simple. All you have to do is go online. the easiest way to do it is to go into AOL, do keyword billing,
mm-hmm.
and go ahead and switch. It takes a few seconds, and you could go ahead and keep your the only thing you'll lose is the dial-up capability.
Oh no!
But if you're not looking for a dial-up backup, it's perfect. It's really quick and easy to switch it over.
Now the new version of the client will also allow dialing in too.
Yeah, we do have what we've done is we re-architected dial-up so it works better with universal for Macs with Intel processors. So mm-hmm. we found that the Rosetta translation caused some connect failures to happen on the older client. So we've rebuilt the whole dial-up mechanism so it could be used efficiently on the Intel side.
So basically this entire AOL, like you said earlier, is written from the ground up.
Yeah.
With all the new technologies that the Macs could take advantage of.
Yeah, when you talk to dev teams at AOL, they're just surprised with the, you know, our relatively small size. And they're like, wow, you built this whole thing. I mean, if you take a look at the time we spent coding, especially Apple's Xcode tools and the new Cocoa toolbox, unbelievably efficient for building applications. So with our little team, we were able to go from scratch to a full-blown application in beta within, you know, months.
David, did you have anything?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, in terms of the paid account, when you have dial-up, one of the things that I always used to remember used to be great about AOL is if you were traveling, anywhere you went in the world, you could get a local number to dial up. Is that still a service you still offer?
Yeah, so a lot of people, we have a lot of loyal people who have been using AOL for a long time, and they still pay the full unlimited price. But yeah. For $9.95, you could get 10 hours a month. And if you're anywhere, if you're traveling, I was in a hotel once in upstate Pennsylvania, and I'm not joking, there's no broadband anywhere. So I was able to use my dial-up. But then it's getting harder and harder for us Mac users because Apple doesn't include modems anymore. So.
Yeah, no.
Right.
So getting if you do have your USB modem, anywhere we still have a lot of different local access points, so you could dial in for local charge.
Okay.
So how is that charge done? I remember a while back that if you had a US account, you paid a large fee to go. I mean, I even went to Canada and I was surprised when I got my bill for dialing into AOL Canada. So does it vary from country to country and each one has a different charge and does it depend how far away you are? Do you know how that works?
You know, that's actually a pretty good question. I'll probably have to follow up with that because we actually sold our access businesses internationally. So like in the UK, we have Carphone Warehouse and in Germany, yeah. we have a separate deal. So I really actually don't know what the new scenario is, but I'll find out for you, and I'll get that info to Tim.
But it's fair to say that if I have an AOL account in America, I can get access. I just may have to pay a fee for it.
Yeah, there may be an additional fee on top of that.
Now, I do have one last question because I play the skeptic here. Sure. AOL isn't doing this because they're just nice guys. Obviously, you're in it to make money, right? So are there going to be free services and pay-for services, and are there going to be certain areas that customers who pay get into that free customers won't get into? How can you talk much about what you think it's going to look like?
Well, right now, if you have what we call a paid membership, so if you have a $9.95 or a unlimited account, if you log into certain applications like AOL Radio for Mac, you'll get an extra like 50 XM radio channels.
It's some additional. Oh, okay.
You get higher quality streams. There are some things that are still available to, you know, besides just the additional hours for dial up. You do get some additional benefits that you won't notice unless you're a paid member. But everything AOL is putting out is squarely focused on advertising support free services. So
fantastic.
I mean, our first goal was to get AOL Desktop for Mac out. We needed a universal app that wasn't based on the old MetroWorks Code Warrior or anything like that. Get everything up to universal Cocoa, getting it running really well on Intel and PowerPC. Our first goal was that. And you know, we even ripped out our browser. We have WebKit running inside our browser now. So whenever Apple makes an update, every AOL user who uses AOL Desktop gets a speed bump in their browser.
We're talking to Lee Givens. He is at AOL. And Lee, one of the things that surprised me when I downloaded the beta was how small it really is as far as physical size. I mean, it wasn't even 50 megabytes.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. When we do demos within AOL, one of the first things I do is I show people I could download it, I could install it, and launch it in less than 60 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what surprised me when I downloaded it and installed it and started running it.
It's a DMG file.
Yeah.
So it's a DMG file of 10.8 megabytes.
Yeah, I mean, I was amazed.
Because I just downloaded it while we're talking. So,
yeah, no, I actually have it running right now.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because when we first one of our first betas, we didn't have all the back end software into it yet, and the DMGs were like 7.1 megabytes. I'm not joking. People on the team thought it was broken.
It was so small. Yeah.
We're like, where's the rest of it?
Yeah.
Is this the downloader app? What's going on?
Yeah, people thought it was a stub that would download the rest of the app.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. I'm telling people, no, that's pretty much everything.
That's what I thought when I first downloaded. I thought, this can't be the whole thing. This is too small. Maybe I'm getting AOL radio or something here.
Installers. Yeah, one of those installers that installs more. Sorry.
Right, the stub. So Lee, let's get away from AOL for a minute. Let's talk about you personally.
Sure.
You told me off the air that you've been a longtime Mac user. What was the first Macintosh you used?
Well, the first Mac I used, my father was in the military, so I lived in Germany for a while. And I remember flying back, we came back to the States in 84. The first thing I did was have my mom drive me over to the local computer store so I could see what this Macintosh thing was. I couldn't understand how you could control these windows that overlapped. And I had this whole big problem, like, how in the heck do you navigate through this windowing system? So that was the first time I got to play with one of the Fat Macs, the 512Ks. Oh, and yeah. A little time after that, I made it to college. My first Mac I purchased was a Quadro 840 AV.
Yep, good machine.
But I was lucky enough to work at – I stumbled across a small engineering company in Rockville, Maryland, and – I don't know if a lot of people remember back in the 80s, they used to have, secretarial pools, and the executives would never type anything. They'd write things on notepads, pass it to the secretary. So the president of this company said, everybody's going to do their own email and their own letters. So he bought everybody a Mac. So we had 100, SE30s, in the company. And I remember I sat near the mail server. It was running Microsoft Mail version 4.
Uh-huh.
And somebody called me on the phone one day and said, Lee, can you reboot the Mac? I was like, okay. Microsoft Mail Server would get hung up or something. So I rebooted it. Next thing you know, I'm the IT guy.
Suckered into it.
Yeah, so I was still in college. I was doing a lot of desktop publishing in PageMaker back then on my 2CI.
Mm-hmm.
So during college, I used a Next machine a lot. I was really impressed with the Unix machine, the Unix software, because I was an engineering student. So I was on and off using Macs my whole, high school time. You know, I was an Apple II guy back in early days. And when I was able to afford it, I took out a student loan, bought my Quadro 840 AV. I remember spending $5,000 that day at the campus computer store.
Ouch.
Yeah, so I took that home, and I'm not joking. I took 2 days off work. I got the whole thing set up. Got my I don't know if people remember, the voice recognition was new, and the television input was new. So I had everything hooked up to that. And then I had a revelation. My friend bought a Quadro 660 AV, and we sent video at 14:4 to each other. I was getting like one frame per second at 720. By 120 or something like that. I'm sorry, it was 172 by 120.
Ah, small.
So
at one frame a second.
I thought, this is the future of streaming media, so I kind of dedicated my career to streaming media. So in the 90s, I went to go work at Belt Atlantic, and they had a new service they were putting out called Stargazer. It was the first interactive television setup. We had over 700 Macintoshes there, so ever since high school, I've been lucky enough to work at companies that had a predominantly large Mac footprint.
What was your favorite Mac to use, other than the current ones? Because it's too easy to say, the one that's sitting on your desk, which is the fastest probably. Looking at your history, what was your favorite one?
Well, the weird thing is I'm actually a Mac collector, and I don't know how my wife puts up with it, but I have about 60 Macintoshes here at the house. And
yeah,
60?
I got about 60.
Oh, my God.
I used to. My wife made me get rid of them all.
So if you look in the garage, every nook and cranny, there's a Mac somewhere poking out somewhere. But you know what?
You're not that guy on Flickr who bought the 2C for $3,000, are you?
No, I
did. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see. I thought that was pretty. What, the brand new 2C?
Yeah.
I never thought that opened. Was pretty.
Yeah. It was brand new, never opened. Wow.
Never opened. Yeah.
He did a unboxing ceremony on a 2C in 2008.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Unbelievable.
That's wonderful. I'm sorry,
so you have 60 Macs. Which one's your favorite?
My favorite is actually the Apple, the old Macintosh TV.
Really?
Yeah.
The black one.
Yeah, I've been trying to get my Mac TV working. I moved my Mac TV up.
So
I'm
sorry to hear that.
I tried
so hard to kill that.
I'm also a big collector of just wacky Macintoshes. So,
Is that why? I want to know why you think that's the best machine. I was there for that project, and I so much wanted that killed.
I don't know why. I just like the little guy because it plays, you know, really ugly television. Has the
But who doesn't like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The goal of that project was to give. You know, we looked at the students and said, oh, you know, students are living in dorms. They don't have room for a computer and a TV. Let's put them both together. And unfortunately, I think we put them both together poorly. But
well, I use my Mac TV because people have never seen one. It's just one of those curiosity things. So I usually – if I could get it working again, I'm going to bring it back to the office, and it actually sits on my desk.
What do you have a 20th anniversary Mac?
Well, that's the weird thing. I have all the pieces for it. I've been on it maybe 15 times, but I've got the subwoofer. I've got the pen and pencil set. I've got everything for it except for the actual computer.
Yeah, I've been trying to get one for years myself, but they're either too expensive, then I'm not going to spend $5,000 for such an old computer, or they're just elusive.
And I like getting the original stuff. I don't want a 603 upgraded one. I want an original 20th anniversary Mac.
Yep.
Do you tend to use these machines, Lee, or do you just sort of, you know, is the pleasure you get from owning them from the fact that you know you have them?
Well, when I was working at, where was I? I was working at Time Warner Cable, and I remember I had to configure a Cisco router. So I brought my Macintosh portable in because I needed a serial port.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which portable?
The original.
The ruggable.
The one with the 5-pound lead-acid battery.
Wow. I have a clear one sitting right next to me right now.
Wow, you have one of the prototype ones, huh?
Well, I was on the team, so, you know.
Wow.
I used to run through Chicago Airport O'Hare dragging one of those behind me many times during the year.
I'd pay good money for that, so let me know if you're selling.
At some point, it may show up on eBay, you know. You just have to get a battery. That's the problem. You can't find batteries anymore.
Yeah, I actually have a really good working battery. My Mac portable is working really well. So I also buy a whole bunch of the same versions of the same Mac so I could cobble parts.
Do you have them displayed anywhere in the house, or are they just kind of there?
Well, actually, we bought this house for the main purpose of building my museum in the basement.
So you have the best wife in the world.
Well, she's I met her one time. You know, we sold her county. My wife's a school teacher, so we sold her county 19 Macs. It was 7350 servers back then.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of schools ran software called At Ease. And At Ease and Mac, they had this ability to, you know, manage computer labs and push software out.
Very familiar with At Ease.
So my wife's AppleShare server.
I forgot about that application until you said that.
I did too.
I forgot all about At Ease, yeah.
So I'm going to actually write a blog article on At Ease on the Mac blog at AOL. But so her server was only, I'm not joking, an Ethernet crawl at about 10K per second. So I kept making visits there, and we ended up dating, and now we got married. So my wife was the Macintosh teacher. She was the, you know, in schools they don't have enough money to hire like an IT person. So they find the teacher that's pretty computer literate, and they say, okay, you're going to manage all the computers. So I felt sorry for the folks in Carroll County because they didn't have a lot of tech support. So every month I would say, meet me at the school. I'll teach all the teachers who are coordinators. I'll teach you one thing, like putting RAM in a Mac. I'll teach you how to check an Ethernet cable. I'll teach you how to go through and remember Extensions Manager?
Yep.
I'd do an hour on Extensions Manager, and I'd just do one thing, and she kept showing up. And then my wife's after thinking back, I don't think I could have married somebody who's not a Mac person. So,
with my wife, I met her because of the Mac, really, because it was an online It was Great Lakes Freenet running first-class software. And when we first got together, I told her, I said, I don't want you to get jealous about, you know, the Macintosh, because my first wife did. I said, it's not what I do, it's who I am. So that was important to me. And it sounds like you even went one step further by getting someone who's already into the Macs.
Yeah, I don't want to freak too many people out, but yeah, my family, we go to Macworld for vacation. So
hey, I understand that.
Yeah. Well, so as long as we're telling stories, my wife was the editor of Unix World magazine when I met her, and we dated over email. So
that's cool.
And now she's on a Mac, by the way, and she's like, finally, no more shell scripts. You know.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, Lee, we want to thank you for coming on the show, and I want to see if there's anything that you'd want to share with our listeners before we let you go about AOL that Mac users would find surprising.
Yeah, the one thing I think everybody should look out for is we're going to finish up AOL Desktop for Mac soon, and we're going to start looking at we look at that sort of as our foundation. We're going to go back, and we're going to take a look at AOL Radio. We're going to take a look at all the other applications we have, start building a whole bunch of new things. So I just want people to stop by the Mac blog. It's macblog.aol.com. Stop by there. You'll start to see a lot of cool things from the AOL Mac team. It's going to take us a long time to get our credibility back in the Mac market, but you know, you're going to see us at Macworld. You'll see us at WWDC. You'll see the Mac team. We're going to get bigger. We're going to make some good stuff, so just have people stop on by.
America Online is back on the Mac, and I encourage everyone listening to go check it out at AOL.com, and we'll be right back.
Welcome.
Every year in February in Tucson, Arizona, there's the world's largest gem and mineral show. And we have a visitor who's staying with us. Her name is Susan Olson Elo. I'll spell that for you later on. And that's also the name of your website. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, what brings you to Tucson? Just this gem show?
There are venues throughout the city, these humongous tents. It's impossible to really understand what it is until you see it.
And did you look this up on your computer? How did you know ahead of time what there was?
Oh, well, I've been before, and of course I look everything up on my computer.
What sort of computer are you using,
well,
Susan?
Well, I now have a Mac. I have a what we call the Big Mac, and then I have a laptop, the Little Mac.
A Big Mac and a Little Mac.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Very good. Which is the Big Mac? What's its real name?
I don't know.
Is it an iMac?
Yeah, I guess.
A one-piece iMac?
Yes, one-piece iMac with a 24-inch screen. It's very large.
Is it white or is it silver and black?
It's white.
So that's called the G5 iMac.
Okay.
And what's your little computer called?
You know, I guess I just call it my little Mac.
Is it silver or is it white or black?
It's silver.
So it's probably a MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro, yeah, that sounds 15
correct. 15-inch or 17-inch?
15.
And are you new to Macintosh, or have you been using Mac for a long time?
Well, you know, it was last year when I visited you, and you talked about Macs. I started thinking, this makes so much more sense, because we needed to replace our computer.
Which was a PC?
Which was a PC, and I'd had it for about 7 years.
The same one?
The same one. It was a Gateway. And we were having virus problems, and I was having to call my nephew up to help me figure things out.
Well, I'm sure he loved hearing from you.
Well, he didn't mind.
Okay.
We have a Mac store near our house.
An Apple company store?
An Apple store. My husband and I would go down there, and we'd sort of look around and ask questions. And when we came to see you last year after talking to you, the next month, I came back to Seattle, and I bought what I still call it the Big Mac.
The iMac G5.
Yes. You know, it's been wonderful. I don't have problems with viruses, and I've been able to navigate fairly well.
How long did it take you to become comfortable with the switcheroo from the Windows world to the Mac world?
Well, really, it wasn't much of a challenge. It didn't bother me that much.
Did you sign up for the one-on-one or the ProCare training?
I did sign up for ProCare, and I only took one class. I felt as though, you know, one-to-one person I was assigned to was a bit impatient. You know, I sort of felt like, oh, here's this middle-aged woman, and well, what is she doing here anyway? And it wasn't a pleasant experience. You know, I felt like he wanted to get me out of there as fast as he could.
But you'd paid your $100
yes,
for 52
I had.
Lessons.
I had.
And
I
you
had.
Took one lesson.
I took one lesson.
You didn't really get your money's worth.
Oh, no. No, I didn't.
So did that get on your nerves?
Well, I had other things to deal with. But when I went back to buy my MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro.
MacBook Pro.
You can call it your little Mac.
Okay. I bought it right before we were going on a golf trip for my husband, and I needed to do my business plan.
At the same store where you got this lousy textbook?
At the same store. Okay. Same store. I told the guy who was trying to sell me ProCare, and I said, well, you know, I bought it with our other computer. And I told him what my experience was. And he disappeared, and he came back, and he talked to the store manager, and they comped me for a year.
So you got a year on the house in lieu of that year that you hadn't used.
Well, I still have time. You know, I bought the first computer in March, and I bought the second
one
in November.
They're overlapping.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And how many times have you been back since
November? Oh, I haven't been back.
Got it, but you haven't used that either.
Right, right, right.
But you feel better about it, even though
you absolutely better about it.
So you're going to use it before your next
November? Oh, yes, definitely. You know, it was the holidays, and I make jewelry, and so it was really busy with orders, and the store was just packed all the time. Uh-huh. And I know you can sign up online, and that's a real benefit.
Now, have you also bought the AppleCare Protection Plan?
Yes, I bought that.
Have you had a need to use that?
Nothing.
Have you had any problems with your computers?
None.
And are you comfortable spending that money on the insurance for the AppleCare even though you don't use it?
Well, I think I did it because you told me it was a good idea.
It is a very good idea. Yeah, I mean, I have it on all our computers, and I hope I never need it. It's one of those things.
Right.
Sort of like car insurance.
Right.
You hope you never need to claim it.
Absolutely. You know, my husband really has never had any computer training. And he transitioned fairly easily from the PC to the Mac.
Now, which one does he use? Do you use both of them, or does he use both of them, or what? Who uses
what? Well, I use the laptop. I use the laptop. He doesn't. Mm-hmm. And we both use the Big Mac, which is in the den. So we can just go in there and sit down.
And on your website, and I'll try to spell this out. It's Susan Olson Elo, SusanOhlsonElo.com. And what are people going to find on this website?
Right now, they will see photographs of my jewelry. I make necklaces and earrings, and I also make baby bracelets.
What price range are we talking about?
The online store isn't up yet, but when the online store is up, the pieces start like at $24.
Okay, and up to a couple of hundred?
Yes,
so it's moderate price.
Yes, it's moderate price.
Handmade by you?
It's all handmade by me. I use semi-precious stones.
Are you sending it to China so that slave children can be working on it?
No, it's all made in my house on 37th Avenue.
With all this stuff that you're carrying around with you all over Tucson?
That I filled your house up with, mailed home today.
And on do you do your web work yourself?
No, I have one of my friend's husbands, who is a Frenchman and moved from France a little over a year ago. He has done my website and my online store. I think he's done a very nice job. That's been delightful, you know. I mean, I had the money to pay him. He's done a great job.
And when's your web business going to be open for shopping?
Well, it better be open in March.
Because you've got all this stuff and you spent a ton of money.
Yes,
you've got to get some money back.
Yes.
If people are listening to this program, they're not kids anymore, but they're not ancient grandparents either. They're sort of in the middle of their life, mature adults, and they're considering going from Windows to Mac. What are some of the recommendations that you, Susan Olson Elo, have for people who are switching or are considering switching from Windows to Mac?
What I needed to know was how to get to the internet, how to get to my mail, you know, the softwares that I like to use, Word, Excel, etc. Mm-hmm. iTunes is great because you can put your music on, you can transfer it to your iPod.
You have an iPod?
Yes.
Did you get one of those free iPods when you bought the computer?
No, I didn't. I bought an iPod first before I got my Mac.
That's
It's wonderful because it's, you know, it's so easy to transport, and you can buy docks with the speakers, and we love our iPods.
So as far as the switcher is concerned, you think an iPod is a winner?
Absolutely. And, you know, you just kind of take it slowly. And, I mean, computers don't frighten me. I figure things out myself. I ask questions. It won't blow up. The Mac is easier than the PC was. There's no doubt about that.
That's great. Well, thank you for joining us on the MyMac.com podcast.
Well, thank you very much for having me, John.
Now, last year at this time, you had zero computers and zero iPod. Now you've got two computers and one iPod. This time next year, how many more are you going to have?
Well, I think we'll just have what we have currently. You know, it was really great to pack up my laptop and bring it with me and check my email and pay on my Visa bill while I was here spending all this money. And
did you have any trouble getting the wireless network?
No,
here?
You know, and I did get wireless, and that has been fabulous because I feel I can go to any room in the house, do work, you know, with a laptop.
So our only question for you for next year is we want to know how your one-on-one ProCare appointments out.
Yes, and I'll work on that and report back to you, John.
Very good. Thank you, Susan, for joining us on the MyMac.com podcast, and thank you for switching over to Macintosh.
It was easy.
And we're back. Thanks very much, John Nemo, for sending in that segment. And, of course, we do want to thank Lee Gibbons once again for coming on the show and talking about AOL. And let's stay on AOL for a minute, guys. AOL was very important to the launch of MyMac magazine. Russ Walkowicz, for instance, the longest person at MyMac right now, other than myself, he found me because of AOL. I uploaded the first, I don't know, five or six issues. Russ was downloading and reading, and eventually became a writer for the site, and then for the magazine, and then became the editor. I don't know, David, in the UK, was AOL something that you guys used over there, or?
AOL was huge in the 90s here. I mean, at one point, it seemed like AOL were trying to carpet the entire planet with CDs.
Yeah, I remember that.
So
yeah.
It felt like that. They were everywhere. And I remember, I mean, I was shame to say, I was not really into Macs back then. I was, working the PC side. And we had stacks and stacks of those. Every time we bought anything to do with the PCs, we would get two or three of those CDs would fall out.
It was the same with the Mac.
Yeah, and you know, we use them for coasters, and you know, I remember one guy sort of papered an entire wall with them. So that was, I mean, they were very big, and they were very well known, and they still are, to be honest. I mean, Lee mentioned that they're partnered here in the UK with Carphone Warehouse at the moment, and actually they have some very good broadband deals. If you go into Carphone Warehouse, you can get broadband from AOL, and they'll give you a free laptop.
Wow.
As part of the deal, you know, sort of like a cheapo Dell, like a £300 Dell.
Yeah, but still, I mean, for a lot of people, so it's all in one shot.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really great deal.
What, so you just agree to use the AOL the paid service for X number of months or something like that?
You basically, you sign up for a 12 or 18-month broadband contract.
That's not bad, though.
DSL. So that's a nice deal, you know. So they're very much still in the public eye over here, and you know, I hope that continues to be so.
You alluded to some of it there during the interview, Owen. What's your history with AOL?
I was working at a company. Let's see, I'm trying to remember where I was. We worked with a company. Oh, Interactive Productions was the name of the startup I did in the mid 80s. I'm trying to think back in time frame wise. And mid 80s. And we worked with a company called QuantumLink, which was an online system for Commodore 64 machines. And we did some of their games and gaming systems, a thing called Rapid Jack's Casino, which was a multiplayer online casino for Commodores. And QuantumLink was in the process of becoming AOL. So that was the same company. They expanded and changed names. And the group of – I had actually left Interactive Productions and gone to Apple, or was getting ready to, and we were with at Interactive Productions creating the same version of that game for AOL. So I left Interactive Productions and went to Apple, and then I was actually worked on a little bit on the eWorld team, and also worked on getting the system into Macintoshes as a regular piece of software.
So you
so I
have
go back to day one.
Yeah, and you also go back to day one with eWorld as well, which wasn't AOL, but it basically used a rejiggered AOL client for eWorld, correct?
They bought the server infrastructure and the basic serving software, but they built their own front end to it. And if I remember correctly, and someone hopefully will write in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the first eWorld server was actually in Norway.
Wow.
Which is why its speed was so bad. And at the time, we were using AppleLink. Why I remember that. We were using AppleLink as app mail inside Apple, and they wanted everybody to move over to eWorld. They wanted all the employees to be on eWorld instead of AppleLink. Except AppleLink was very fast, and it seemed to work pretty well. eWorld didn't work as fast. And I may be confusing two apples and oranges here, but I just remember the early eWorld, and we all kind of went, can we go back to AppleLink?
Didn't like it. What about you, Guy?
I kind of back-ended my way into AOL. I actually started off online with Prodigy because they gave me a free 2400 baud modem.
Which was a big deal.
Yeah, that was a big deal back then. And I can't even remember where I was, but I ended up, somebody handed me a 3.5-inch floppy with, I think it was AOL 1.5. and went ahead and signed up because I was already sick to death of how slow Prodigy was, because you had to wait for all the ads to load before the you got to anything.
Yep.
So I went ahead and put it on and signed up as a Florida kid, and pretty soon things were just going really, really well, and decided that Prodigy could pretty much KMA. I was going to stick with AOL.
I remember launching AOL on my Performa 410 for the very first time, and this was when I was with my...
You had a Performa 410?
Yeah. And that was when I was married to my ex-wife, obviously, and we had set up this computer at the table. And I launched this AOL, and I had no idea what it was. It wanted a credit card, which I was a little reluctant to do. It was something nobody knew about online at the time. So
right.
to provide this credit card number was a little daunting for me, but I did it. And I thought it was just the coolest thing. And I remember chatting with somebody in a chat room, because chat rooms were huge for AOL back in the 90s, early 90s. The chat rooms were just... That was the thing that everybody seemed to really like about AOL. And I remember talking to somebody, and they were in Switzerland or Ireland or I don't remember, some Lind. And I thought it was the coolest thing. I said to my wife, I go, I'm actually talking to someone on the other side of the world. And she looked at me, and she goes, yeah, you could do that with a telephone, too, for the past 50 years. And it kind of deflated me a little bit. But the funny thing was, right in the middle of the chat, the Mac locked up. It crashed. And it was the first time my Mac had ever crashed on me, and I didn't know what to do. I thought, oh, my God. So AOL crashed my machine. Of course, I don't think it was AOL. It was just, System 7.0, so it was buggy to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
And I didn't know what to do because I knew I had to go and shut down the machine from the window or from the menu bar. So I couldn't do that because my mouse wasn't responding. I didn't know what to do, so it's just sitting there. So I call AOL, or I'm sorry, I called Apple, and I'm sitting on hold for like 20 minutes, and the lady says, well, have you rebooted? And I said, well, no, because I can't go up to the menu. She goes, oh, just reach around in the back and turn it off and turn it back on. And that was the moment that I stopped being afraid of computers at all. Once I realized I could just turn it off and turn it back on, just like a television, I was good to go.
You're good.
Yep. And then that's when all the experimentation started and using shareware and all that kind of stuff. And that's why I became kind of an expert on the computer. So in some respects, you could say that was because of AOL.
Yeah.
It helped crash my Mac.
Oh, there
to course,
blame.
That's the dirty little tech secret that we all know, is that we don't really do anything to fix the machines. We just turn them off and on again.
That's right, yep, and hopefully it will work. You were going to...
What's the expression in the IBM world? Big red switch.
Yeah, big red switch, yep. When I was an IT manager and I would get a call from somebody, well, it's doing this and it's doing that, it won't let me load my fonts or whatever the case may be. The first thing I always tell them, have you restarted? And after about, a year of telling them to restart the computer and then call me back if there's still a problem, the tech calls went down by, 80%, because as soon as they picked up the phone, they realized I was going to tell them to restart. So they would restart before they would call, and that would usually cure the problem, especially in Mac OS 8 days. I mean, it was horrible back then. They would crash so often.
I used to tell people, though, to get up and go get a cup of coffee and walk around their chair 10 times as well. Sometimes things were just like stalled.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there was a bug in the old Apple Talk networking and the early Mac networking where it would hang for 2 minutes. And it could hang your whole machine in this tight little wait loop waiting for the network. And then it would time out and come back. But people would freak out in those 2 minutes and they wouldn't wait. And it turns out if you waited about 2 minutes, the thing would often come back.
Yeah.
You know what? Windows still does that today.
Windows still does that today. Tell people to do that on Windows machines.
Yeah. With the networking stack, if it goes out to the network and it's waiting for something, you'll be waiting 2 minutes for timeout and it'll look like the machine's frozen up.
Yep.
I think 5 years ago, if someone would have said, AOL's coming out with a new Mac client, I would have went, who cares? But,
right.
This is 2008, and after that meeting with AOL at the Macworld Expo, which we didn't meet Lee at, by the way, which was surprising because he was there almost the whole time, and the one time that we stopped by, he wasn't there. I'm actually kind of excited for him. I think it's kind of cool that America Online's coming back to the desktop on the Mac. What do you guys think?
I'm hoping that, just based on my limited time with their new desktop client, I'm really hoping they stick around. But, one thing I have noticed is that a lot of the things that they're doing now as far as, being outside the actual walled garden is like TMZ, things like that. You won't find AOL almost anywhere on that site. They don't even advertise that they're even affiliated with AOL.
Yeah, but you don't see that on like Engadget much either. I mean, you really have to look around to know that AOL Time Warner owns Engadget.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that?
That was an absolute surprise when I heard that. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, AOL bought Weblogs Inc. a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago, and anything that's under Weblogs Inc. is AOL. So, like
I say, it's a good site. I enjoy it.
AOL, like I said during the interview, is they're really big now into creating content rather than being a gateway. And I think that's probably what's kept them alive, that and advertising, of course, because none of those sites you have to pay for to go to. So I think coming out with a desktop client that's free is going to be key for any resurgence of AOL. I think they're making a smart business move there. What do you think, David?
I think so. Google's so dominant now, and there's been all this business about Microsoft and Yahoo over the last couple of weeks. I think there is an opportunity here for somebody like AOL to come along and maybe do things slightly differently.
Competition is what we need, definitely.
Absolutely. And, it's interesting as well. They're moving back into the Mac space. I mean, I suppose potentially I know they have a tie-up with Apple and .Mac at the moment, but potentially they could add services that compete with .Mac in the future.
Oh, I think that would be a good thing. I was kind of thinking that when I first downloaded it was maybe they could do something with photos. I know they have AOL Radio, but maybe they could expand on that a little bit. Maybe a music store that you could buy music a la iTunes or Amazon, stuff like that.
Yeah, and certainly the community aspects are very interesting, and those are the sorts of things that I really get out of some sites now. I mean, I've been using a lot of the forum stuff on Flickr recently, and that sort of thing where you can share photos and talk about particular topics of people in a forum is something that's very interesting. And obviously, AOL's been doing that right since back at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see if we can start another rumor with AOL, because the Microsoft buying Yahoo, and it's all about acquisitions. Let's see if we can start one with AOL buying MyMac.
Yeah, let's drive up the stock price.
That's right. Oh, wait, we don't have a stock price. Doesn't mean we're not for sale, though, Guy.
That's right.
Hey, it'll go up 100 times.
100%, that's right. 100 times.
100 times zero, still, yeah.
Yeah, still zero. Yeah, well, you know how that goes.
That was my boss's, my last company I work for, my boss's joke. He said, "You did such a great job, I'm giving you 5 times your bonus this month."
Yeah. I've heard that a few times myself. So let's talk about a little bit what's going up at mymac.com before we wrap up the show.
Yep.
Let's start here. Owen, you posted something that just had me cracking up, and my wife, which is rare when she reads anything up on the website about laughing. And the title of your blog post is "Flying and the People We Hate." let's talk about that for a second.
So, and poor Bill Gates, I kind of let loose on him. If he listens, sorry, but he had it coming. Whoever Bill Gates is, I read this. Somebody sent me an email, and the link is at the top of that post to this thing about a flight attendant who said, "Oh my God, here's the people I have to deal with when I fly." And at the bottom of it, he said, "If you have some of these, send in your comments." So I started to write comments to him, and I was reading it out loud to my wife, and she was just laughing like crazy. And I said, I got to write this out and put it up on the MyMac. It was strictly me being sarcastic. I mean, I'm not so serious that I really hate these people. You just run into them, and it seems like everybody I told it to said, "I know those guys."
Oh, yes. I think we all do.
It was a very fun piece to write. It really was. I just had a blast writing. I was hurting my side. I was laughing so hard as I was thinking. And thanks to the people who posted behind it, because there was a few more people that I hadn't thought of, like the guy who jumps up as soon as the plane hits the gate to take their bag down.
Oh, I hate that. Right. Yeah. You know what I hate about
that? He's the same guy who shoves his way to the front of the plane, too. He has to be the first one off, right?
Yes.
So. Yeah.
Well, the other aspect of that is the ones that get on the plane first and then completely fill up the overhead bins. I've got one carry-on, and I don't have any place to put mine anywhere near my seat. I hate that.
And I said that. The people can't count to two. And there was a comment made, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me, that someone said the airlines need to take some
you know, blame in this. The airlines need to take all of the blame in this. This is my gut feeling on this. If you're going to have rules, enforce them. If you're not going to enforce them, get rid of the rules. Just let it be chaos, right?
I agree.
I the same thing happens to me in the grocery store. The sign says 10 items or less. I don't really give a damn if someone with 12 goes through the line. But when someone with 30 in front of me is in the line and you go, hey, excuse me, it's 10 items or less, and they swear at you and tell you to piss off, basically – then I look at the clerk and say, why are you taking this guy? And they'll tell me, I don't want to upset the customer. Well, they said, right. Yes, they do. There is one store near me that will say, excuse me, you're in the wrong line, and send them to the wrong line.
The correct line.
Send them to the other line. And I really applaud that. When I asked at the Safeway store, the guy said to me, well, we don't want to upset our customers. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. There's five people behind him who are obeying the rules who are your customers that are upset. How about those guys?
Yeah.
Right? You're upsetting them, and their answer is, well, they're not complaining, so why bother, right?
Which they're not in front of them right now.
And they're not in front of them. And the I guess the kicker of the whole story was the guy in Safeway who did this. I watched him. He literally told me to go screw myself using the four-letter word beginning with an F. and all I did was,
I know what
was
that
politely
word.
Say to him, do you know you're in the 10-item or less line? Okay? I didn't say you have to move. I just – maybe he didn't see the sign. Okay, even though it's lit up with lights on it and a big yellow flashing light. So he checks out, and then he takes a checkbook out to write a check.
Oh,
it says
God.
Cash only, okay? And then I say to him again, sorry, it's cash only. And he goes, oh, I'm not warning you again, right? So we watch him. He takes his groceries outside, and he gets into a very large BMW parked in the handicap space.
Ugh.
And then I just went, you know, it doesn't matter what you say to this guy. That's just the way he is. Now, Mr. Bill Gates on the site may think I'm being a bully here. But, I just want to be people that treat you like you treat me. Well, I treat people fairly. I want to be treated fairly back.
Yeah, I think there's rules to society, and if we all obey them, it's a much better rule. And then when those, like you write about in your blog post, don't follow those rules of civility, that's when we all kind of have problems, and it's it doesn't make such a nice time anywhere we're at.
I guess I'm the jerk. I'm the jerk here because I'm the one who speaks.
No,
up, right?
I do all the time.
It's a label on me, right?
I wonder if Bill Gates' first name is Steve.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, I could say this, Owen. I'm one of the people who will speak out against people that you're describing, and my wife absolutely hates it because she says it's kind of embarrassing. And one of these days, someone's going to have a gun and shoot me, which is
my wife says the same.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, and it's you know, that's possible. But if we don't say something, then we're rewarding the behavior. So,
they'll keep doing it. But someone told me they'll keep doing it anyway.
They will.
I'm not going to change.
But I feel better when I say yes.
Well, you know, Owen, it's strange. Typically, people don't say those kinds of bad words to me. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, it might be because you're 6 foot six.
You're 6 foot six and I'm 5 foot seven, right?
Yeah.
Although I did take Aikido karate for many, 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 many years because I was a little guy, you know. And so
yeah,
I
but the problem is
own.
So did Guy.
Yeah. I would never challenge someone his height, you know. He could just go, you know. But
I'm not that kind
you
of
know,
guy.
And I don't always say things to people. I just sort of note it. And to me, I actually find a lot of humor in it because, I mean, I read that story. Some guy posted the thing about the person who peed in the seat and the airline didn't do anything about
it. Yeah, that's horrible.
I'm glad that wasn't me because I really would have been the bully on that flight.
Yeah.
You know, it's
Well, you know, I could say that since we're way off topic anyways, what the heck, right?
Why not?
I will say something to people, and it has gotten me in trouble in the past. But like you said, Owen, I do feel a lot better afterwards. I really, really do. It just feels great. Let's jump back to MyMac.com. And, David, you've got a review up posted for Fluid Mask 3. That looks like an interesting plug-in.
It is quite an amazing piece of software. I mean, the idea is that, as I said in the review, if you're really good on Photoshop, you can do without this because, you know, you know the tools inside out. What it's designed to do is for taking objects and removing the background so you can cut an object out of a photo.
Right, using masks.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the name again?
Fluid Mask.
Fluid Mask.
Oh, yeah, I saw them at the show. Yeah. That was a very cool product.
exactly. Yeah. And what it does is you, and so I've got some screenshots in the review, you load up a photo and immediately it scans the photo for all the edges and marks them up with blue lines. And then the tools it has in there make it very quick and easy to mark up the thing you actually want to remove. And it has some very sophisticated edge detection technology built into the software that means that it when it takes the image away and you put it in another photo, you don't have that very sharp edge that you can get if you don't know what you're doing in Photoshop. It's always feathered. It always looks very natural. And, you know, it really allows you to get very professional looking results very, very quickly, much more quickly than you would get if you were just using Photoshop alone. So if that's something you need to do, then it really is a very, very good solution for doing it.
I like the pictures that you put in there with it, that you show the before and the after picture. And it really does, other than your right arm, which you could have corrected with with the cloning fish.
I made the joke about my bicep diet there. But the thing is, I mean, in the original picture, David, the listener who I was standing next to, his arm was just projecting slightly over mine.
Right.
And so I thought it would sort of really demonstrate the fact that just myself had been removed from the photo.
Right, yeah. I got what you were going for, but I thought one more
the
picture maybe
surgical diet.
With the cloning tool would have worked there.
Yeah,
David, were they selling this thing at Macworld as a tool for eBay?
They have a cut down version called Bling It that they've actually sent me to review.
Bling
It. Follow.
Thank you.
That's right. And but basically what Bling It does is it takes the same technology, but it is focused very much on eBay photos or anything you really want to sort of highlight or redemonstrate. And what Bling It does is you cut out you take a picture of your eBay auction item, you know, and you put it on your kitchen table, and then you can remove the kitchen table and then put a much more professional background. I mean, in the past, I've taken eBay photos and I've used like a soft light box and put the items inside and then sort of lit them from the back. This means you don't have to do any of that. You just take a picture of the flash. You take a picture with the flash and then just remove the background and put a plain background or something with some colors and some highlights in your way. And I've just started looking at Bling It, so I'll probably be writing a review up over the next few weeks.
Thank you. I was going to play with it and do that, so I'm glad to hear that you're already there. Please, because I thought that was a very cool idea. Because eBay photos take me forever these days, it seems like.
Yeah.
Guy Searle, part 7 is posted of your iWeb series. 7-part series so far. And to be honest, I think you've cornered the market on the Mac web when it comes to writing about iWeb. Yeah, a lot of people, you look at all these other Macintosh websites and nobody is writing anything about .web. And yet a lot of people are using it with their .Mac accounts to create their personal websites.
Right.
And you've got a 7-part series already.
Yeah, but what you're mostly seeing is people are just using the default templates. They're not making a lot of changes to it. And what I'm trying to show people is you don't have to stick with what Apple is giving you. You can really, really make it your own. And if you look at that, you know, the one site that I talk about over and over again in these articles, MacParrot.com, it doesn't look anything like an iWeb website.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
So this is part 7, and you're talking about blogging this time around.
Yeah. Basically, probably the hardest part of making an iWeb template look like something else is the blog and the podcast parts of it, because there's just so much stuff in there that you've got to move out of the way to put your own stuff in. And plus, also, Apple puts in these lines that they have content in that you can't get rid of. So as you try to move that around, the line is moving with it, and it's taking everything else with it at the same time. And it can be a real nightmare if you're not careful.
Yeah, it looks like it. And it's, you know, I only use .Mac with the templates for my .Mac account, iWeb, should say. And I would like to delve into it deeper. I just don't have the time. And for what it does out of the box I think iWeb's a nice little application. If you already have a .Mac account, it's there. Why not use it?
And there are some things I would like to see in the next version. I won't go into them right now. I'll talk about them more as you know this adventure goes on with taking iWeb further.
How many articles do you plan on the whole taking iWeb even further, part 7? How many more do you got in you?
I'm guessing there's at least three or four more.
Awesome.
This needs a sticky link somewhere with a to it. So I have a question. Can I take an iWeb thing I've made and host it elsewhere as well?
Sure. Yeah.
So it creates standard HTML-based and PHP-based type files?
Well, with some limitations.
I haven't read your list yet, so I haven't read your thing yet. I apologize.
If you don't use Apple's .Mac, you won't have RSS support. You won't have
out of the box. But you can get out of the third party.
You can sneak them in, though. I assume, right?
Sure. Oh, sure, sure. Especially the big thing with iWeb with the second version is they now allow you to put in a separate HTML box and put whatever code you want in there.
Ah, okay.
So that could support PHP or what have you. Yeah, awesome. Some of the
So I might suggest the final article in the series is maybe how to export and use this elsewhere and some of the things people need to
know. Yeah. Well, I've talked about that.
You've hit upon it a little bit in previous articles.
But there'll be an article where I delve into basically taking your iWeb site, printing it to saving it to a folder and putting it on your own, you know, your own domain name and all that, and how to do the things with it that only Apple lets you do if you have .Mac.
And what's really
like
cool
comments
is...
comments and things like that.
And what's really cool, Owen, is when Guy gets all done with this, when he finally wraps up the series, looking like maybe 11 or 12 parts altogether, what we're going to do is I'm going to collect the whole thing and release it as an ebook for Guy.
That'd be
the site,
wonderful.
So.
Oh, it's going to take some major editing.
Well, that's I'm kind of good at that sometimes.
Well, I've been hanging on the edge of learning Joomla, if you guys have seen it at all, and because I need to rebuild a site I'm taking care of, and I read the first one of your articles and been thinking maybe I should read that whole series and just do it there. But they don't want it hosted on .Mac; they want it moved somewhere else. So.
So no, it is possible.
You don't have to use .Mac.
Okay.
Some of the things that I've posted up on the site the last week, I've got one that's called Office 08 Word, and so far, very buggy. Microsoft Office Word for Office 08, I should say, is just crashing on me all the time. I really would like to delve deeper into the program, but when it's crashing on me three or four times with one document, I'm not really comfortable using the application or writing too much about it yet. I'm kind of waiting for the next version or the next – not version. God, I'd be waiting a long time. The next update to
Office 2012.
And you know, it is a new version. It was, according to Microsoft, written from the ground up. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt for now, and I'm going to wait until the application has been updated, and then I'll start delving into it.
See, I'm a Dreamweaver guy right now. So.
Yeah.
But one nice thing about working for the government is occasionally you can get some pretty good deals, and Microsoft has this thing where you can get the full version of Microsoft Office for about $25.
Wow.
And all you really need to have is a .gov email. So I went ahead and set, you know, went through all the process, and I noticed that unlike the last time when I got 2004 for the same deal, that the new version of Microsoft Office for the Mac wasn't there.
Not yet. So, it's still pretty new, though.
No. Well, I sent them an email, and I got a nice personalized response back saying that, you know, it's going to be coming soon.
Yep. One of the other things that I posted a blog about is called the iPod Shuffle Price Drop. And, Owen, you actually responded to that on the blog. Apple reduced the price from $79 to $49 for the 1 gigabyte iPod Shuffle, something that you might be interested in now, Owen? Because you don't own any iPod yet.
I don't own an iPod yet, just because I've always thought, I guess being an engineer, you see what's in them and you go, oh, that should cost this much. And I've just sort of had trouble getting over the hump of wanting to buy one. But I've owned a lot of MP3 players and wished they were iPods, okay? So at $49, that's now at the point where it seems like it's worth exactly what's in it. And I'm tempted to go get some. In fact, I can't say what the company is that I'm helping out, but they're thinking about giving away prizes, and they're going to go buy a bunch of them.
Yeah, it's so for 40, 50 bucks a pop, I mean, that's pretty good if you're a jogger or something like that and you don't want to take a full-size iPod with you. 50 bucks, what the heck? And you could still put...
Well, I figure it'll lead me to the Touch, which I want to buy when it comes down in price.
Yeah, the Touch really looks nice. Some of the other content out there, new writer Gil Polson did a review of both Carbon Copy Cloner and Super Duper. Good review. Gil is also one of those guys who has a Mac collection. In fact, he sent out some photos. The whole staff was emailing photos back and forth. I don't know why, and it was fun though. And as one of the photos, he is in his basement with his museum of Macs, and he literally has set them up with displays. Everything works. There's cards in the front. It looked great.
That's something he should blog.
I think so too, and I've talked to him about it. And actually, I said instead of a blog, he should do a video tour. Yeah. Of it, I think that would really be cool.
That would be cool.
Probably get a lot of attention on the internet for it as well. And Lord knows we can use some links in. But we need to get Gil on the show here pretty soon. Get him on the podcast and talk about his new writing gig at MyMac.com and his Mac Museum in the basement, because I think it's pretty cool. My wife would never let me do it, even if I had the room, which I don't.
I had one in the garage, but it's gone now.
Dolza review from Donnie Yankolo. It's kind of a drawing program for kids. It's kind of like Kid Pix. You guys remember Kid Pix?
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of a Kid Pix type of thing. It's from plastic. It looks pretty cool. They make Comic Life and Sketch as well, so check that out up at MyMac.com. Donnie also reviewed the ITV3. I know that's something that Owen's very interested in.
Yes.
And I think that's about all for the show this week. I want to thank Lee for coming on and talking about AOL. And as a hint, I will say that if you want to learn more about AOL, very soon you'll probably be able to go to MyMac.com and get some AOL information. That's all I can say about that yet. But Guy, Owen, David, thanks for coming on the show, guys.
Oh, it was great.
Thanks very much, Siobhan.
Owen, of course, you're not on it very often. We got so much feedback from the last time that you were on the show when I did the interview with you. Everybody was just...
They're still angry with you?
They're still angry. They're saying, why did you let him get on the show? So, well, we need to get on more often.
At least the death threats have stopped.
Yes. That's always good.
I had to change my address, yeah. No, I'd love to do it more. In fact, now that I work from home, those people listening who have jobs opened... I can probably do it a lot more.
Yeah, sounds good, and we'll definitely have you on. And we'll be back next week. I do not believe we have any guests scheduled for next week. And we're probably going to record the show earlier than we usually do in the week. Guy, I don't think you'll be with us.
Wah, wah.
No, Guy won't be with us. And
when you say earlier, do you mean earlier in the day or
earlier in the week?
Yes, we're recording Wednesday next week instead of Thursday.
I will mark it down, and I might be able to join you again.
That would be great. David and I would very much appreciate having you on the show. And,
it's fun. I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, the podcast, and let's not get into this is the podcast type of thing, but we've been doing this now for over 3 years, and I get a really kick out of doing this. I think the interviews that we're doing and that we have coming up are really fun, and I'm looking forward to meeting some more companies out there. If anybody listening would like us to say, hey, you should really talk to this company, I'd like to learn more about them, send your suggestions in to tim@mymac.com. Let me know which company, and maybe we get them on the show. That'd be fun.
You can also call us at 1-801-938-5559.
And if
contact us at mymacpodcast@gmail.com.
Operators are standing by.
That's right.
So, and we are going to have the contest coming up again, too. So that's we're going to give away free copies of AOL.
I think I've got a few of those.
So, sign me up.
Zing. All right, that's the show. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to mymacpodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the mymac.com podcast.